Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Angels roll the rock away. Death, yield up thy mighty prey. See, the Savior leaves the tomb, glowing with immortal bloom. In the third stanza, heaven unfolds its portals wide, mighty conqueror through them ride, King of glory, mount thy throne, boundless empire is thine own. Today from Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 23, in the earlier part of the chapter, we read how when the apostles spake to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple came, they were grieved, they put them in the hold, and then warned them not to speak any more in the name of Christ, and the answer of Peter was, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than to God, judge ye, for we can but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They threatened them, and then they went back to their people. And that's where we began at verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lift up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants, that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. What a wonderful description of that early church. Let's pray that we might have again that great power in the church, that we also may give witness of the resurrection of Christ, as well as all the things that pertain to the gospel and all the counsel of God and his holy word. Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus, giving thanks for what we read here, for what was given to these people, and even what was done by the enemies, all according to what thou hast determined beforehand would be done. Even as Peter could state on the day of Pentecost, and repeated here again, we know, Father, that thou art a God victorious. We know that thou art a God who has planned all things, and has a purpose in all things, and that thy plan will be fulfilled, though thou dost allow men to do terrible things, both wicked, and even sometimes thy own children. We think of the description of Hezekiah, thou dost leave him to try him to know all that was in his heart, and only pride manifested itself. And Father, we acknowledge that the same would take place with us if we are not under thy blessing and control. We think of thy word again, Lord Jesus, that without thee we can do nothing, but also that if we abide in thee and thou dost abide in us, we can bring forth much fruit. And we pray that we might have that blessing from thee, the risen Christ, that we might be able to abide in thee by faith, and we might have thee abide in us by thy mighty Spirit, and then we might bring forth fruit to thy glory, that we might bring forth fruit to the blessing of the church, and the upbuilding of the church, and especially the blessing of being one in the church, as this church was here made as different than the apostles before, arguing amongst themselves in pride, and now, Father, in humbleness, being one in Christ. And we pray that we might have that blessing in the church, that we might be in one accord in prayer, as they also were, and could pray, even having the place shaken, having thy power manifested. And we pray for it again. We know that thou art the God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever in Christ. And we pray that what was given in the past may again be repeated now, if it could be thy will. We know, Father, that thou couldst leave us to ourselves. We read in Paul's letter to the church at Rome that of those given over to a reprobate mind, we know, Father, that we sadly deserve that in our nation. Our homes are torn apart. We deserve to be left there in the way that we have chosen, the way we have gone. We are left in denying thee as creator, even though we can read here that they acknowledge thee as the God which made the heaven and earth. We have denied thee in regard to our unborn, many of them killed by their mothers, by the doctors, by the nurses in their mother's womb, the terrible sin that is upon us, and sadly not alone because of government, but the negligence of the church that have lost its savor. The salt is no longer a salt in the nation, no longer a light in the nation. And sadly, we read of the statements of church fathers in regard to abortion, that is not thy word, but only their own foolish, wicked, compromising word. And we pray, Father, that thou wilt forgive us and deliver us, and that once again the church might be raised up as this church was here, all because of Christ, and that we also might then know and experience, as Paul cried out, that I might know him in the power of thy resurrection, Lord Jesus. And as it was manifest here, they had that great power, and then give great witness to thy resurrection before the rest of the world. We pray, Father, that we might have that great and needed blessing in the church. We also give thanks for the other blessings in nature, the blessings of freedom, the national blessings. And we pray for those that are in need and hunger, the homeless, the sorrowing, the injured, the sick, the troubled homes, the elderly, the lonesome, and widows and widowers. We pray, Father, again for the terrible sin of abortion, that it might be recognized, and that we might see these sins, Father, as they are spoken of in Thy Word, and that we might have Thy Word once again as a light upon our path, all through Christ. Amen. As we continue studying about the resurrection of Christ, it is given very plainly in the history of the early church, recorded here in the book of Acts, recorded so plainly in the first chapter of Christ being risen and then ascending, the second chapter, Peter speaking of it and declaring that God raised him from the dead and made him both Lord and Christ. Then, as we saw last week, in the name of the resurrected Christ, that Peter and John declared to the lame man, that we have no silver and gold, but such as we have, we give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He was the living Savior, and they could trust in him as now being in heaven. Yes, in heaven. When Paul writes to the Hebrew church, the epistle described as letter to the Hebrews, he speaks of Christ. He speaks of God speaking to us in the last days by his Son, by whom he made the worlds. Once again, we read that in Acts chapter 4, the God who made the heaven and earth. Here in Hebrews 1, that God spoke to us by his Son in the last days, by whom he made the worlds. God made the worlds. God made the world, as he said, in 6 days. God made it and tells us how he did it. He spoke the word. It's true. We disbelieve it to our own detriment. We blessed believe and believe the lie. The liars all go in the lake of fire. And anyone that denies the creation as God gave it in his word is a liar. And it's time we wake up and recognize the God of creation. Only then can we recognize the God who gave his law. Only then can we recognize the God who, because of a broken law, gave a Redeemer. One who died, and then one who rose again. And that's what we are reading about now, the risen Savior. Paul said further to the Hebrews that Christ was the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person. He had, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. Paul doesn't mention the resurrection there. He does in many other places when he preaches. But here he goes right from purging our sins, paid for it on the cross. Part of that work was certainly in the resurrection for our justification. But he says he is now sat down on the right hand of God. He declares, as we already could read in Psalm 45, he repeats those words in the 8th verse of this first chapter of Hebrews, Thy throne, O God, is forever, and his scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Then he speaks also of Christ, as David said in Psalm 110, in verse 13 of this first chapter of Hebrews, But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. So we have great and glorious things spoken of Christ, the resurrected Savior, in the 3rd verse, in the 8th verse, in the 13th verse, and throughout that book of Hebrews, all of that which did take place, actually, yes, actually took place on this earth, almost 2,000 years ago, 1,900 and some years ago. 2,000 years ago, Christ being born, lived, then died, rose again, ascended up to heaven. And there he is ruling in glory. He is sitting on the right hand of the Father. As we come further in the book of Acts, we will see Stephen, seeing the heaven opened and Christ standing on the right hand of the Father. He evidently stood up to show Stephen himself in that glorious way. But here now, we read of these apostles, particularly Peter and John. The rest of them evidently were also there, but not mentioned by name as those two. But again, those words in verse 33 of this Acts chapter 4. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. I think we can see two things. We can see their boldness that was spoken of, and also that they prayed for. They were now very bold. Peter had denied Christ before his death and was fearful. They were fearful during the time of the crucifixion, even in the morning of the resurrection. They were still hiding, but now they had boldness. They had what Christ gave them. After he rose, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Ghost." He opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And now they had the boldness of the message of Scripture that was written up to this time by Moses and all the prophets of Christ. And as we read, I believe it was last week or the week before, from the third chapter, where Peter states, "In all the prophets from Samuel and those after, as many as have spoken have likewise foretold of these days. You are the children of the prophets of the covenant which God made with our father, saying unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." Peter had that himself. John had that himself. The rest of the apostles had that themselves. And then the 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. And now in chapter 4, there were 5,000 mentioned that believed. Over and over, Christ was turning one sinner after another, sometimes many together, from their iniquities. Yes, that's the promise. That's the blessing. Sometimes we talk about covenant children, covenant blessing. Do you know who the covenant children are? They are those who are turned from their iniquities. Those are the ones in the covenant of grace. Those are the ones in the covenant made by God, saying to Abram, "In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." Not all those that were circumcised had that blessing. Not all those that are baptized have that blessing. But all those who are turned by the risen Christ have that blessing for time and eternity. Oh, do you have it? Do you know the need of it if you don't have it? We need it in our nation. It's our only hope. Not a new politician. Not another politician. Not choosing from one weak politician to another. But having God save them. Pray for them. That even as Paul said to Timothy, pray for those in authority, that we might lead quiet and peaceable lives. For God would have all men to be saved. Saved by the resurrected Savior. Pray that he will send his power down from heaven into our nation, into every nation. That's the hope for nations. That's the hope for governments. That's the hope for people. And I must say with it, that's the only hope for a lukewarm church. That's the only hope for a self-righteous church. Where do you find the church today? As we could read Acts chapter 1, in one accord in prayer and supplication. Here in this fourth chapter, we read in verse 24, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Where's that today? Somewhat within some churches, but very little between churches and one church with another. We have our denominations. We have our traditions separating. Here, because of the risen Christ, and they had boldness to declare him, there was one accord. We see that again in not only that 24th verse, but in the 31st verse, when they had prayed, the place was shaken. They were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness, not in contradiction one to another, not in separation, but together, The 32nd verse, the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. What a blessing. Oh, if we only had that in the church today, if we only had that in the home today, when half of our homes don't have one soul and one body. Instead, what God has joined together, man tears apart, allows Satan to tear it apart. And the church often goes along with it. Yes, goes along with it. Tearing homes apart. Tearing children out of their mother's womb. I read sadly how that, when the Supreme Court, those number of years ago, 1973, made the ruling of Roe versus Wade, that one of the leading preachers, one of the largest Protestant denomination, one of the leaders said, well, the woman has the right of her body until the child is born. Terrible. When God knows every child before his birth. Yes, what are we doing to the resurrected Savior? We're ignoring him. We're ignoring his teaching before he died. And that teaching hasn't changed when he died and when he rose again. His word will never, never, never change. We must be changed. We must be turned from our iniquities. And our only hope is in this, in him. To have again from heaven. To have again by the Spirit. To have again in great power. Then gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Great grace. Do we know what grace is? Do we know what salvation by grace is? Without works? Only through faith? And as Paul said to the Ephesians, even of faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. Christ must be the object of our faith. And Christ is also, as Paul writes, the author and the finisher of our faith. Only he can give us a true faith, the right way, the right time, giving it to lost sinners. Not sinners that just believe they're all right any time they want to, any way they want to, along with any doctrine they want. Think God is going to bow to that? God is just waiting for sinners to give a half of a cent? We can have then the shallow ground hearers, we can have the thorny ground hearers, as Christ spoke of the parable of the sower. But the good ground hearers are those that God has to prepare. God, through the resurrected Savior, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities, as that third chapter states. Yes, he pardons. He forgives. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. But it does it in two ways. One is forgive, the other is giving power over sin, over the world, over the devil, over our flesh. And oh, how we need more of that in the true church. How we need the false church to find out that it is false. Beware false teachers. Beware false prophets. Beware those that come with an imitation. Beware those that come as Paul said of Satan, sometimes he comes as an angel of light. Yes, sometimes the church acknowledges the resurrection in a historic way, stating it believes in it, but doesn't fully acknowledge that it needs that resurrection power to turn us from our iniquities, especially within the church. We minimize that with children in the church. They're different than others. I was told that when I heard a sermon for sinners only, telling the minister, I'd like to hear more like that. I needed it. He said, the radio preacher's preaching to different kind of people. I wasn't any different than the worst, and you aren't either. Unless you find out, like Paul, that you're a chief of sinners. You want to find out with him that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and that he said, could say, of whom I am chief. That's God's way. That's the way of the resurrected Savior who spoke from heaven and stopped Saul. Now Saul wasn't here yet. Peter and John. And they not only had given witness here before the priest, before the captain of the temple, before the Sadducees, been put in the hold for it overnight, let go. Now they were ready to go out again and speak some more with great boldness. And we find that in the fifth chapter, after we see the sad happening of two proud people in the church, in the New Testament church, Ananias and Sapphira, deceitfully selling their property and keep back part of the money, lying about it, and coming to Peter with the money. And when he asked, was it so much? They said, yes, so much. He says, why do you lie to the Holy Ghost? And they dropped dead, both of them, the man and his wife. Then after that, we read that the apostles again healed the sick. They gave witness of that, the healing in verses 12 through 16. And once again, the high priest was there trying to stop them. They were filled with indignation, we read in verse 17. They laid hands on the apostles. They put them in the common prison. But the angel came and took them out, told them to go in the temple and speak. And they did. And then soon the high priest heard about it. Verse 25 of that fifth chapter, then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. And then went the captain, the officers, and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, and that they should, lest they should have been stoned. Now they were more careful, and so we see this taking place, and we see that it would lead again to the message of the resurrection. First they commanded them, they said, verse 28, did not we straightway command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Here they were, in their unbelief, the leaders of the temple, the leaders of the church at that time. But Peter, coming, as we could see in the fourth chapter, with boldness, coming together and praying, receiving another blessing of the Spirit. So the place was shaken, and they prayed together. But now they could go out and witness. They had that power of the resurrected Christ. Listen to what Peter is saying. We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom he slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. God raised him up. They killed him. God raised him, and he's alive today in heaven and coming again one day in glory. Are you ready?
For listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.